Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
There was a lot of victory this year, this past year. And I don't take that lightly, but what I do know is that there was more. And I'm not speaking on, and God always has more, right? And I'm not speaking that on you guys. Maybe you're walking in the fullness. Maybe last year you were walking in the fullness all 365 days. Praise God for it, but I wasn't. There were things that I disobeyed God in. I did. There were things that God wanted to do in my life that I hindered. I hindered growth. There was things that I was disobeying God in. And I refused to make the same mistakes this year. I'm not doing it again, and I will be sanctified this year. I will be sanctified, and I will be meet for the Master's use, and I will be prepared for every good work because there are things He can't use you for. Understand that. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to be perfect to be used. From the day He filled me with His Spirit, I was still messed up. He used me. From the next day, Jesus, I was telling everybody, He wasn't waiting for me to be perfect, right? So He could use me in that, but there were places He couldn't use me because I was not sanctified in that place yet. It says meet for the Master's use, but to be sanctified, prepared for every good work. So though He can use you in one area, when you have not yielded and surrendered and sanctified in another area, He can't use you in certain things. And that's kind of where I was last year. I was being used mightily in many things, but He wanted to do more, and He wanted to do more through me. I know that. And not this year. I will be sanctified, and I will. And I speak that over everyone. This isn't about me. It's about everyone. I believe this is a word for us. But the word, and out of that, I say that because out of that, I said, God, I'm going to burn for You. I'm going to burn brighter for You. I'm going to burn with a passion, and I'm going to burn with a love for You, and I'm going to burn, Father, for You. Hallelujah. And I'm going to burn for souls. I'm going to burn with a desire for Your word and a desire for Your presence and a desire for Your people. So we will burn brighter for Him. Hallelujah. And I'm not necessarily going to speak even on the fire of God tonight. I love to speak about the fire of God. Hallelujah. We need the fire of God. And I think even the fire that I've encountered in my life over the past few years from the first time, and I've been set on fire here at the altar. I'm sure you guys even remember that, looking like a crazy person, sweating profusely, you know. It's real. The fire of God is real. It's not something we just read about, right? It's not just this mythical thing. It's real. It's tangible. It's consuming, and we need the fire of God. And I love to talk about the fire of God. But I think even in that, when I was first set on fire, how do we stay burning for Him? And even in all of that, because our lives should be brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter until that day of perfection, ever brighter. We should be increasing, and we should be burning brighter and hotter. But am I? I felt there's times that I was burning hotter for Him when I was first saved 5 years ago. That shouldn't be. So Lord, help me. What do I need? And I really sought after Him in that. What do I need to burn for You more, Father God? Because I used to burn for the world. I used to burn with lust and all these things. That's not me anymore. I'm going to burn for Him. And I think, Lord, how do I stay on fire? And He said, he spoke the oil. And I believe that's really what I want to talk about. I'm no expert on this, guys. There's a lot of things I don't understand about it. And, you know, about the anointing and the oil and all of these things. Like, I'm not an expert on it. But I know what He's spoken to me. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And so I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 25. And it's verse 1 through 13. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We love You, God. You are so wonderful, and You are so good and holy and awesome and perfect in all that You do, Lord God. We thank You that You are here with us. From the time that I walked into this door, I can feel, as Brother Don said, the anointing. I can feel Your presence, Lord God. Oh, we thank You for paving the way. We thank You for being here with us as we gather, Lord God. We're not going to be distracted today. We're not worried about things outside, Lord God. We're here to honor You. We're here to worship You. We're here to set our affections affections on you. Father, you are worthy of our hearts, and our hearts belong to you, Father God, tonight and every night, Lord. So we love you. We thank you that you're here. Oh, what a privilege to behold your presence. What a privilege. Oh, may we not take it lightly, Lord God. You are in our midst, and we will recognize and we will honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. So in Matthew 25, I always say I'm not going to be long, but I really don't feel I'm going to be. Seriously, I just like, oh, I feel this burning in my heart. But okay, so let's read first and foremost the scripture. And what I want to stress out of Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins, right? So we're familiar with this scripture, but what I want to stress out of this, I believe we're all aware, but out of the 10, they are not separate in the sense of these aren't five unbelievers and five believers, right? We understand that these were virgins. These were 10 bridesmaids, okay? And they believed in Jesus. And they were, I believe, in the church. I believe that. And where I get that is they were together with the other five. And when it said they went to sleep, they all rested. While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. They all rested. I believe there was, they were together. And they were. And I don't think it was the five over here and the other five. They all rested. They were all there together. And they believed. And they were waiting for the coming of the return of Christ. So, like, first and foremost, that should grieve us to know how the story ends out for five of them who were believers. And, I mean, that should hurt a heart. And I want to stress that out of this. Understand that these all are believers. Out of the 10 virgins, they're all believers. And I'm sure they've all confessed. They've all, you know, they were waiting for Jesus to return. So I just want to stress that. So let's read Matthew 25. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. But the wise took jars of oil with their lamps. And while the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins," see, they were together. All the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. They didn't have to meet up somewhere. They were together. So I can't stress that enough. "Come out to meet him." And all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." And the wise answered, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves." But while they went out to buy some, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord," there's that confession, "Lord, open the door for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And so there should be a really like, whoa, in the scripture. Like, whoa, I mean, they were shut out. Out of this, it can be preached in many ways. And I really want to just focus on a couple things here. And I don't have a lot of points, but my first one is value. My first one, and I'm going to use these interchangeably, value and honor, because you're not going to honor what you don't value. And I'm going to use them kind of interchangeably there, value and honor. But that is my first point. And first and foremost, to value his presence. And to understand, in 2 Corinthians it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." We understand the oil flows from God, that he is the one who anoints us. Now I'm not looking for a man for anointing in the sense of it comes from God. Now I'm not saying God will not use a man, God will not use a vessel, and that the laying on of hands and impartation, it is so powerful, and it is not a small thing, and we don't lay hands on anyone suddenly. It's powerful, but you understand that's God, the anointing. You know, I can't anoint you. You know what I mean? It doesn't come from me. Here, I will, and I, God's doing it. He'll use me through, right? He'll use me. I'm the vessel, but I can't personally anoint, right? So we understand, even in that scripture, God will use a man to do it, but ultimately, God is the one who anoints. Now, I want to talk about valuing him and valuing his presence first and foremost. See, God says, "If you honor me, I will honor you. But if you dishonor me, you will be lightly esteemed." And now what does it mean to be honored by God? What? Honored? This is a whole nother thing, because loved, right? But honored? Honored. Who am I that God would honor me? Like, what does that even mean? What? God is so good. So in that, how does he honor us? There's many ways. But I will say the greatest honor, there is none greater. The greatest way God can honor us is with his presence. There is, if you think there's a greater honor, check your heart, because this is the King of glory. This is the King of all kings. This is Ancient of Days and King of the universe is coming to visit with you, to visit with me. Who am I? Who am I? What is man that you're so faithful to him? Who is man that you're so mindful of him? So this is the greatest honor, guys, is him, himself, his presence. There is no greater way. And when you come into here, guys, and I think if you want to find a church without the presence of God, find a church that dishonors God. God will not be there. God will not be in that church where he's being dishonored. That's not this house. Oh, hallelujah. Guys, we come in here and the presence of God's already here. Do you not feel the presence? Like, when I walked through the door, I felt his presence throughout the day. It's not that, you know, you can't get in that place with him and feel him every, he's always, right? But I just mean there's that tangible anointing when you're coming in the body. And man, just there's so something so special. From the first time I walked into the door, it's like, shoo, God is here because we honor him. How do you honor God? Well, above all else, you give him your heart. Because it doesn't matter what your mouth says, right? If your heart's far from him. So we have to honor him by giving him our hearts. And this is a church that he has our heart. He has our heart, and that's why his presence is here. But I want to speak on that. When we come in, guys, we have anointed leaders. We have anointed pastors. We have anointed worship leaders. The worship is wonderful, but we cannot take that lightly. So when we come in here, when we come into worship, and that's coming into this year, we have to press into that greater and greater, that we're not taking it lightly. Guys, there is no greater, faster way in my heart to dishonor God than by coming into his house. He is moving. He's moving through worship. He's moving through the I mean, he's here, and I'm just, I'm out here. What? God, that, oh, how thankful he is that he strives. How long will he strive with man? But he's still here because there's people here that are pressing in. There's people here that are seeking, and there's people here that he's staying for. But guys, it is a dishonor to him. And I'm not speaking, this is me, I've done it. You know, it's not like a, it's something we've just got to get past it, because I've came in here before, I've came in here before distracted. It happens, guys, my mind's being renewed, things are going on. But when we come in here and God's moving, he wants to visit with us. He's wanting to visit with us, and we have to yield to that, and we have to be sensitive to that greater this year than ever before if we're going to move into where we are planning to move into and the visions, the things that God is showing us. We have to move into that greater place of his presence, and even through worship. So guys, don't come in and leave it out there. And it is a fight. You have to fight for it. Because God, I'll get in here, and I'm like, okay, Lord. And I always pray, you got to help me worship in spirit and truth. Help me, Father. I'm not trying to do this in my own strength. I must worship you in spirit. I'm not worshiping you in myself. Like, help me. I need your help. I need your help that you will help me to worship you as you're worthy of it. And I may my worship be acceptable to you. May my worship be pleasing to you. Because just because you lift your hands and say hallelujah doesn't mean he even receives it. And I say that because he says, you honor me with your lips. Your hearts are far from me. Your worship is a farce. I don't even receive it. It's meaningless to me because your heart's not in it. So I can shout, and you know, it's like, that's hard. So, oh God, may my worship be acceptable. I don't want to be here worshiping in vain. What for? What, to be seen, or to, you know, for the King, because he's been so good to me, you know. So it's like, help me. And it's a fight. So I'll come in here, guys, and I'm like, I'm worshiping. I feel the presence. I'm locked in. I'm zoned in. My eyes are on him. My affections are on him. And whoop, there goes my mind. They go, like, what? No. Hold on. So, guys, it's all right. You don't, like, beat yourself up. Like, it's okay. We're still here. And, like, we got the flesh and the mind's being renewed. We got
stuff going on, right? So I'm not saying it's not easy all the time, but I'll be in it and then just, whoo, my mind goes and I'm wondering about what I need to do or this thing that happened earlier, whatever. I'm like, no. Lord, help me focus. Help me focus. And sometimes, guys, that might happen 10 times in a worship service. But what you don't do is go, whoop, distract, and then you kind of go right over. God had more, and you were going to encounter him more, but then you went, ooh, wait, you know? So just bring it back. Bring it back in, you know? Like, bring it back. So that's really how I encourage you to enter into that place of worship. Your mind might wander, but no, Lord, help me focus. Help me focus. And he will, and he does. But it is a fight. It's not just, oh, it's just, you know, easy. And like, it's work. That relationship, his presence, the secret place, that it is work to get. Like, it's not just easy. You know, you have a part to play. Whoo, hallelujah. So that's really, really my heart in that, is valuing and honoring him and his presence first and foremost. And then moving on to the next point, it's here. I don't really have to look at that. But you can't honor God, okay? Because some people are like, well, I just honor God. But you can't honor him without honoring people. You can't. Can't do it. If you think you're honoring God, but you just dishonor everybody, every man and woman that's around, like, you're not honoring him. You can't. You cannot honor God. It's the same as blessing God, right? In one sentence and cursing his creation in the next. It's the same thing. You know, you're blessing him and then cursing. Well, if I'm not honoring people, I'm not honoring God. And it's like, don't look at people. This is good because I didn't. When this point came to me, I said, the Lord led me right to this scripture that I was in Matthew 25, where it lines right up. Because here we go. And I'll get to that in 1 second. But hallelujah. So you've got to honor the gifts God's given us. We have to honor our leaders and the men and women of God who are around us, and honor the God in them. Honor the Spirit of God in them. And when I see Pastor Brad, or when I see Brother Don, I don't just see, well, there's just that. That's just Brother Don. That's Brother Don. You know, he works at, what? No, that's a man of God. That's someone who has sanctified himself. That's someone who's read the word how many times over? You know, he's taken the time to read the word of God. That's just Pastor Brad. What? That's dishonor, because this is a pastor who's given his life to ministry. And it's just Pastor. That's dishonor. Get that out. Honor the men and women of God that he's put around you, because you won't be able to receive anything from them if you dishonor them. And if you esteem them lightly, you're esteeming God lightly, because that's a man and a woman anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. And you're saying, oh, that's just, what? That's just ministerly. Like, well, that is dishonorable. So we have to get in that place of honoring the men and women around us, drawing from them. And that's where they lacked. And I saw it right here in the scripture, because it's really good. In verse chapter 8, it said that the foolish asked, give us some of your oil. So here were five foolish that had no oil, but they were with five who did. There were five anointed. They had their jars. They had their anointing. They were ready, right? And there was five there, but the five foolish didn't ask. Didn't draw anything from them. They didn't honor them. They didn't value them till it was too late. Now the master has come. The king has come. Look, behold, the king is here. Oh, I need some now. Brother Don, I know you got some oil, Brother Don. Let me get some now. Huh, the king's here. I ain't getting rid of anything I got now. Right? What we're doing and releasing and all these things is like, because we know he's coming, but he's here. Look, I'm going. That's what we've been waiting for. You're not getting anything I got now, right? So now it's like, oh, crap, we messed up. And they knew. Jesus hadn't rebuked him or anything yet. He didn't shut the door yet. They already knew. Oh, crap. Oh, now I'm going. I need some. No, you had time. I believe they had time. They were with them. They were with these men, these women of God. They were with these anointed vessels. And I believe they could have received, and I believe they would have been given. These weren't wicked servants who were keeping the oil for themselves. And that's one thing I want to stress. The oil isn't about us, right? It's about people. And another thing I want to stress is not, well, I'm seeking God for the anointing. I need the anointing. I'm seeking for the anointing. I need him. And I can't help but to be anointed when I'm in his presence. I can't help but to be anointed when I'm living in his word and abiding in him. I can't help but to be, right? So it's not, even in the value, it's not that I'm seeking, I need, you know, in the sense of don't put that above him. It comes from him. It flows from him, right? So just want to stress that. Hallelujah. Oh. So don't put that above him. Seek those things. Oh, and the oil was about others. So they went, and they would have received from them. And they weren't going to keep it from them. If they would have asked soon enough, they were around them. They didn't ask questions. They didn't try to draw from them, the ones who had the oil and the ones who have been through it. They didn't try, right? Because they would have received it. They waited until it was too late. Oh, so honor, value, men and women of God. And that moves me to my second point. And this is my only other point. Like I said, I wanted to hit this thing, and this is really what I wanted to add to what I just felt this was it. Now, the next point is paying the price. So there's value, honor, his presence, the oil, the anointing. Guys, these are precious, precious things. And we cannot take them lightly. Like, if I just think, oh, that's just the, you know, that's just the gifts. And we think, you know, and Brother Greg, he values the gifts. And that's why he's knowledgeable in me. And he's operating these things. There's a value. You put a value on it. It's not just, oh, it's just the gifts of the Spirit. That's all. You know, no. How will we operate in any of it when we're taking it so lightly? These are precious things. The oil is precious. The gifts are precious. And we have to understand that, and we have to count these things as such moving into this year, not to take these things lightly. We have to value and honor these things and the men and women who operate in them. Oh, and then there is a price to be paid. So salvation is free, and I believe the anointing is not. And as Catherine Kuhlman, I love her, and they asked her what it would cost, the anointing. She said it would cost everything. And I think in that, there is a place, guys, there is a price, you know, and I think there's a price. Now, price has been paid on the cross. We understand that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But I don't just come to him and say, yes, Lord, I believe, I confess, and now I'm just walking like Jesus. Because there is a price to walk in that anointing, to walk as he walked, and we ought to. There is a price that we have to pay. And I think, well, how do I know that? It's here. It's right here. It's so good because, the Lord, it's right here. What is it, when they go to him, they say, give us some. What do they respond? They say, go and buy some. And it's interesting because they tell them to go and buy some. They're saying, you didn't pay the price. Go and buy some oil for yourself. I love it. It is not free. Go and buy some. Now, we understand you can't buy these things with money, right? It's a parable. You can't buy the things of God with money, okay? So it's a parable. He's using this in money, but we can't buy the things of God with money. But there is a price. Whew. So, and right here, and that's, you know, something that I really, you know, I heard Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Pastor Jonathan, he said that he doesn't pray for favor for people because there is things you have to do for it in the sense of being obedient to God. You know, it's kind of like I can pray for joy all day long, and you can, I'm declared all day long, I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk in joy, and I'm going to have joy, and I'm the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's true. Praise God. Do it. But if you're disobeying him, you're not going to have it. I'm sorry. It ain't going to be there. I've lived it. I lived being disobedient with God. I had no joy. Oh, gosh. Because you're disobeying him, and you know it. How you're not walking around like a shining lamp because you're like, oh God, I know I need to be doing something. I'm not doing it. So it's like there is a part we play, right? It's not just like the joy I'm just going to have. Well, you got to obey him or you're not going to walk in joy. That's what I've come to learn. I have joy when I obey him. There is no joy like when you obey the Lord. What? You want to have joy? Do what he tells you. And when you do what he tells you, boy, I just feel so good because like I obeyed God. Yes. You know, there's no greater feeling. So, but I heard Pastor Jonathan, he said that. He said, I don't pray for favor because, you know, you got to be obeying God. You got to be walking according to his plans and statutes, doing those things. Favor just doesn't come upon you, right? And I get that. And I pray for favor for people. I do. But that's his conviction. Is he wrong? No. Are we wrong for praying? No. Do it by faith, either way. But I don't think one's right or wrong. He's doing. But it's interesting, because I bring that up because I kind of feel that way about the anointing. You know, I pray that way for people. And, you know, and we come up and, like, I'll pray for a greater anointing upon them. But it's going to take more than that. You see what I mean? Like, that's not it. Because you're not going to value it. Guys, if all I had to do was come to the altar one time, get hands laid on me, and the anointing comes and I'm walking in the anointing dripping in oil, am I really going to value it? Now, I'm not saying, like I said, impartation, that's where it can start. There can be an impartation. One time you come up to the altar, you get hands laid on you by a man of God. That anointing can come upon you. I'm not taking that lightly. But I'm just saying there's still a price for you to stay in that, to walk in that. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's kind of where I'm not saying, well, it's okay. I do pray for the anointing. But every time I do, I'm kind of like, but I need to tell them, like, there's a price. There's a cost. You know what I mean? You're not just going to, like, walk in it. I don't know. So that's kind of like where, I don't know, with that so much. But I do pray that way. But there, I don't know if it just comes so easy. You know, when Catherine Kuhlman said it's going to cost you everything, it's going to cost more than just receiving some prayer. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that's where it can't start. Just like with salvation, it doesn't end there. It starts in that moment, but now there's things you have to do. You see what I mean? So that's kind of what I'm saying. So it can start here at the altar, but it doesn't finish there, right? Okay, but that's where I'm at with that, is pay the price. And what will it cost you? Well, just a little thing called your life. Just a little thing called your life. That's all it's going to cost, really, is your life. And I think that, man, it's going to cost you your wants, your desires, your needs, your will. And that's really where I want to be at with God. That, oh, God, not my will, but yours. Like, let me stop thinking about what I want, what I think, what I need, and what I feel, and just get rid of that. Get rid of it. Oh, God, let me be a vessel burning bright for you, Father God. Let me lay my plans and my purposes and my things aside. What do you want for me? What would you have me do today? What would you have me do this year? What do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do in my workplace? What do you want to do in my city? Not about what I think, what I need, and where I want to go and my plans. No, let's break that and yield that and give that to him and say, God, what's going to glorify you? What is going to give you the most glory, Father? And may it be done to me. May it be done unto me. What is going to glorify you? And we have to yield and surrender that. And it's, you know, you hear about crucifying the flesh. You can't walk in the anointing when your flesh is ruling the day. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to crucify that thing every single day and take up your cross, because I'm not walking in the oil and I'm not walking in the power, all these things, when my flesh is rolling and reigning in my life. It can't. Jesus was walking how he was walking. His flesh wasn't ruling. He was led by the Spirit, and the anointing flowed from him. But it ain't going to flow from you when your flesh is reigning and ruling. It's just not. So we have to crucify that. And these aren't just lovely scriptures that we say, or like Brother Don was preaching a message recently on putting on Christ and taking off that old nature, taking off those old things and putting on Christ. These aren't just like nice little things in the Bible. These are things, commands. Do it, and they're possible, and we can walk in it. And I think about a testimony too, Brother John. I think he was the one with me. And we were out on the street, and we're praying for people, and I'm wrapping up here, guys. This is actually where I'm gonna be wrapping up in just like a moment, because this is really, I felt I just shared what God wanted me to in it. But, you know, I was out there, and we're praying, the go team, and we're out and we're knocking on doors, we're meeting people in the streets, we're doing, you know, just telling people about Jesus and inviting them to church. And, oh, I remember going out and We're down by Burger King. We're on Gaston Avenue there. And I'm on the sidewalk. And I had no, like, direction in the sense of, like, where I was going next. I was literally just witness to someone, and we're kind of just walking down the street, you know, just lead us, Lord. And all of a sudden, here comes a man storming out of his house. This guy. Oh, my lands. He was mad. He was stirred up. He came out, and I'm on the sidewalk. I'm on his property. Never been to his house. You were out with us? You guys weren't there, I don't think. You were somewhere else, but you were out there. And so no one they had been to his house yet. And he came out and said, he runs up in my face, right in my face, puts his finger in my face and says, you beat my beep. I mean, he's cussing me like a beep. I mean, beep. I mean, it was so bad. And he's got his hand in my face. And I'm like, initially, that first, that flare, I envisioned me punching him right in the head, and him just, that's what I saw. And, you know, there was a time where, like, I was that person, you know, and my sister knows there, that kind of, that old me, I did that, you know, that's who I was back then, but I was as violent. I love violence. I fought a lot, but it was because I was angry with myself, you know what I mean? I was like, I was so mad at myself, and my decisions and things that I had done. I was so angry. And so I took it out on people, and it got me in a lot of fights, but I never enjoyed it. I had a buddy who just loved it and was good. I mean, he just, like, loved beating people up. I never did. It wasn't even something I enjoyed. I was just never this violent person. I was just angry. I was so mad at myself, and I took it out on people, and it got me in a lot of fights. So I was no stranger to it, but thank God he delivered me from that. And now you just love people. And that's where I'm going with this story, putting on Christ. Because Stephen almost came out, but it was only for a split second. So as he's cussing me, and his finger's in my face, and I'm just like, for a second, I saw myself punching him in the head. But you know, as quick as that came, it was gone. And I felt Christ cover me. I felt the Spirit of God cover me like a blanket. And this is the testimony when I felt that it just started. I forgot about it. And then putting on Christ, I felt Christ come on me. I felt Christ come upon me. And I began to see him. And I looked at him, and I looked at him as God saw him, and I saw his heart, and I saw this man that was angry, and he was just in pain. And I saw, and the Lord started to reveal these things to me, and I knew that he was in pain because his wife left him. They had got a divorce, and he had no relationship anymore with his children. This is happening. I'm just sitting here. All of a sudden, I was ready to kill this guy, and whom Christ comes on me, and I'm looking at him. I see him. He's hurt. He's just hurt. God loves him. And God begins to tell me why he's hurt. And he's hurt because his wife and they split up, and he has no connection with his children, and that's been hindered. Hallelujah. Now, what did that help right then? But I told him, I felt. I said, I love you. And I told him genuinely from the bottom of my heart that I loved him. And it made sense how Jesus could pray for us while he was on the cross. And it made sense, you know, how Stephen could pray for those who were stoning him, how he could pray for Saul. And I'm just like, I understand it now, because this guy's, now, I wasn't dying. He wasn't killing me, right? But it was just a taste of how someone could be so angry and be cussing you, and you look at them and you love them. And I told him, that's all I could say, because I felt this overwhelming love for this man who's cussing me out. And I said, I love you, sir. And he was, and it wasn't like that facetious, I love you too, but like, what? No, you don't. That's like being, that's that, no, you know what I mean? I love you too. Like, you're being facetious. No, you don't. It was like, I love you. And he felt it, because it was from God. It was from the Spirit. It was from not myself. It was from Christ speaking through me. And he was just like, and just stormed inside, right? He didn't know what to say, because you're just like, you love him. I don't know if the heaping coals, all that, but it's just, I loved him, and he just didn't know what to say, so I don't know if he's ever felt that before, and he ran and stormed inside. But as God revealed to me what had happened in his life, I actually prayed for the man today, and I had before. But even in that, when God brought it back to me, I said, yes, Lord, you revealed that to me. Why? And he didn't just reveal that relationship and all those things, but he revealed that, and so I could pray for it. And I've been praying for that man. I don't know his name, but I believe a seed was planted there, and I believe it will produce. And I don't know if I'll ever know this side I don't even remember what he looks like, you know. I was seeing red the first. I was seeing just red. And then after that, I was just seeing the glory. I don't know. So I never saw his face. So putting on Christ. Guys, and I don't want that just to be, and I've had a few of those encounters, those moments. I've literally felt Cole. Cole from work. Oh, you guys know Cole, Dave's? Cole. Now, I remember when I first met him, and I was preaching to him. For 3 days, I preached to those boys. And finally, on the third day, I said, and I didn't feel anything, like, to do anything till the third day. You know, the third day. But I said, finally, at the end of the day, because we weren't going to work together anymore. We were doing that over there at, yeah. So I said, do you believe what I've been telling you? Do you believe? I just preached Jesus for 3 days, you know? And do you believe? I'm not going to say, hey, say this prayer. No, first, do you believe anything I've been telling you? Because if you don't, we'll end it there, right? But he said, I do. I believe. I said, praise God. And because I was waiting for the Lord. The Lord didn't tell me to move yet. He just told me to keep sowing that seed. And then finally, towards the end of the day, he said, now. Go now. And so I went up to him, and I said, do you believe what I've been telling you, Cole? And he said, yeah. I believe. And I said, praise God. And I said, do you want to surrender your life to the Lord? Do you want to confess to him as Lord? He's like, what do I do? And it's like, all right, it was so good. And some people, but I remember in that moment, he was just so, what do I do? I don't, you know, it's just like, there's love that I felt for him. It was like so consuming. But I literally saw this young man I've known for 3 days. And I loved him with the love that I would have died for him in that moment. I remember thinking that. I felt this love so strong for a guy I didn't even know for 3 days. And I said, I would die for him right now, Lord. I felt this overwhelming love that I would have laid down my life. I would have. I would have died in that very moment for him to be alive. And it's like, that's supernatural. It's supernatural. And I believe we can walk in that. I believe we can walk all the time. You know, it's like, I believe, and that's what I want. I don't want it just to be every now and then that spirit, you know, that I feel that towards people where I experience that love. I want to emanate. I want that to be my life. I want to feel that way towards everybody. And that's what Jesus took him to the cross. I think he felt that every day. That's why he was so moved with compassion. He felt that weight of that just love for people. That love that's like no other thing that I've ever experienced from my life in my life. And I told him, I said, I love you, Cole. He's like, what the heck? I've told people, and I've done it on the street, praying for people. And I felt that love. And I was like, I love you. They're like, dude, bro, this guy's weird, you know? Because, like, you just met me, like, 10 seconds ago, bro. What do you want from me? Like, what are you, like, they're backing up on me, you know? So, I want to operate in that all the time. I want to operate in that all the time. And I believe we can. But you have to crucify your flesh. And I think that's what happened. I went out, prayed up. I went there. I had spent time in the Lord. I had been spending time with him. And that's why Christ just came upon me in that moment. Because I went out prepared. You know, my flesh tried, but it didn't succeed. Hallelujah. So that's it. To literally yield to him, to pay that price, and it will cost us our life and the things that we want, our desires, our will, all those things. We have to put it under, hallelujah, for that oil to burn brighter and brighter for him. And it will take another thing, last thing that it will cost is our time. That's part of it, because I know costing your life is like a broad, you can really break that down to a lot, right? That's kind of the whole gist of it, your life, right? But what does that persist of? And I didn't want to break it down to a bunch of things, just your time. I was one thing I wanted to focus on, and that's just your time. And you guys are here, right? Giving our Wednesday to him, giving him some time, and we need to give him more. And how much time we give to everything else. You know, we got people in here work 60, 70 hours a week. Praise God. Work, right? Like, it's good. We need to do it. But, like, what do we give? I think half the time we give God scraps. You know, we give him our leftovers. Like, God. Like, God, you know, like Savior of the world, like the Lord Most High, like God Almighty, the one who's given us everything, to breathe life into us, like the whole reason we have hands to work with, like everything that he's given us. What good thing that we have? What does a man have except it's been given to him by God? Like what? And here we are just taking all of these things and going about our own business and doing our own things, you know, and giving him just leftovers. I don't want to just give him the scraps, you know, like if we want to operate and if I want to burn brighter for him, if I want to step into that next level and to walk in that, it does take there's a cost. And for me, it's always time. It's the most valuable thing, is that time that we can't buy. We have to give him more of it. But guys, he's so gracious. He's so gracious. He's so patient, right? He's not like, you're not giving me enough. He's so good. That's what's like, he's never offended, right? He's never like, I'm God and you're not giving me enough. Like, no, he's good. He says, come to me. Just come to me and I'll never cast you away. I'll never drive you away. You can be so busy your whole life. It can be your dying breath that you come to him. He receives you. He's there. He's a good father. I can be busy all day long giving him scrap. And, you know, and finally, he's there. He's not offended, you know. He's not offended. But he's there and he's patient and he's kind with us and he's gracious. So this time, don't let it be like, oh, I got, you know, this like, and the enemy can come on you, like, right? He can try to like, well, you're not guilt and shame and like, you need to give him more. That's not God. Know the difference. God's not sitting there like, you need to, you know, guilt and shame. You need to spend more time with your father. You know, it's not God. Get that out. He's good. He's holy. He's gracious. Like God's saying, just come to me. I'm here to give you rest. Minister Lee Howe, like, all who are heavy laden, like, come, I'm going to give you rest. You were doing your own thing the whole time, living how you wanted to live, but I'm here. Like, he's always here. So faithful. He's so faithful. Oh, so I want to encourage you that way. Don't feel like this driving, I got it, you know what I mean? I want to. Oh, God, I want to spend time with you in that place. And I mean time in prayer and time here in the church and time on prayer calls and all those things and just time with him. And I'll stress it every time I preach. Spend time with him. Shut your door and just be with God. Speak to him. Talk to him. Worship him. Just sing to him. Sing a new song to him. Whatever happens, go in your room, pray in the Spirit. Whatever you have to do to stir yourself up. Be with him. The greatest greatest encounter. Like, I've had so many great ones in the church, but I've had so many great ones in my room with God where I can be intimate with him. I'm not worried about it. Because a lot of times you come in here, there's a lot of distractions with people. How much more? I don't have to worry about a lot of distractions when I'm alone. It's easier. Now, you got your phone, you got people knocking, all these things can happen. You still have to be purposeful to get in that place with him. Set your phone outside, whatever you have to do. But guys, we have to increase that time of prayer. We have to increase that time of fellowship with him this year. If we want to walk in this greater anointing, if we want to walk in this greater power, if we want to burn brighter for him, how can I burn for him? Because my desires start to come when I'm away from him. It's kind of like, and guys, I can be doing the things and doing the motions, going through the motions. I believe the five foolish were. They were there. They were doing the stuff. They were doing the stuff. They were doing what the other five, you know, they were kind of, and it's just like, there's got to be that in us, you know, where I'm going to seek his face like never before. I'm going to get hungry for him and I'm going to burn for his presence. And in that place is why I even have a desire to come up here and to preach. It comes from him. It's because I've been in his presence. Guys, when I get out of his presence and I can be doing church stuff, and when I start like kind of doing I feel that old self come back. I start feeling it. I start getting angry. Like things start irritating me. I'm like, why am I mad about that? Like, why am I like, just the guy cut me off, like, you know, on the road, or it can be something. It don't have to be someone cut me off. I get stopped by a red light. What the? I'm getting to that red light, boy. Or you know what I mean? And like, it's green, especially through South Fairmont. I'm like, it's green, red, right when I, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Really? Just long enough to stop me, right? And it stops you just long enough to come to a complete stop, and it's green again. Was that necessary, though? You know what I'm saying? Normally, it don't... Y'all, you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know. I hear too many chuckles. Y'all better be up at the altar, because I hear too many people laughing. So, no, but, you know, that... Normally, it's like, who cares, right? But I know, I'm the stupid red light, and I'm like all mad. I'm like, what is going on?
And I haven't been with him, like in that place with him where he just transforms and molds. And it's just, you know, and I'll start losing my desire to even like witness. And like, you know, I do, like, if I'm not in that place with that abiding in that secret, like if I'm not with him, like in that place, I feel that old nature literally just peaked. Sin is at the door. Like it's it's trying all times, you know? And it's like, but I'll start losing desire to preach, desire to witness, and have start, some of my old desires start coming back. It's like, whoa, 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 what's happening? So in that place with him, he just starts removing all that stuff and starts putting and filling me with just good things, you know, holy things, things that are pleasing to him. I start wanting to do his will. I want to preach. I want to reach people. And I'll feel that way. The second I get into his presence, I'm like, man, I want to share the gospel. Because that's what he does. The second, it's like, I didn't care about preaching all, you know, the last 3 days. The second I get in his presence and just sing to him or just worship him, I'm just in that secret place. I'm like, I want to share the gospel. I want to go out and tell some, because that's what he does. You know, it's like, that's in his place. That's what he starts filling you with his desires. Whew, praise God. So I just want to encourage you that way, that we are going to burn brighter for Jesus this year. We are going to burn brighter for the Lord. Guys, who's with me? And if that's you, if you say, I'm going to burn with a passion for Jesus, I'm going to burn with a passion, I'm going to burn brighter, and I'm going to burn hotter for him, for souls, for his word, for his presence, just stand on your feet if that's you. And you know, I want to sing, and I want to sing Set a Fire. Can we do that song? I kind of just close out with that. Set a fire down in my soul. And before we do that, and I just, if there's someone here, you know, if there's anybody here, before we can burn for him, we have to call out to him. But is there anyone here who's unsure of their salvation? And you can be sure, you can know today. But if you are unsure about what God's done for you, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he's given his son for you, that Jesus went to the cross for you because he cares about you so much and loves you so much and wants you to be reconciled to the Father, that he's made a way back to God, the one we were made for. We were created for him, created for his glory. We were created for his purposes. We were created to fellowship with this wonderful, holy, and awesome God. But we were separated from him, from our own stuff, our own junk, our own garbage, our own bad choices. But Jesus said, I will make a way. And he came and he made a way for us to be back to God, that we can live in him and he can live in us, and we can be one with God as he intended it to. And we can walk with him and hand in hand, and we can be close to him, and we can hear his voice, and he hears our voice. He hears our prayers. He hears our cries. He hears us because we belong to him, because we belong to his son. Guys, it's the gospel. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that's unsure of that? Do you not know? Are you uncertain about those things? Is there anything wavering in that part of your life? You can't burn for him. We haven't cried out to him yet, and he hasn't filled you with his spirit and his fire. That's the first step. All this sounds good, but if you haven't surrendered your life to him and called upon that great and mighty name, that name which there is only one that's given to us under heaven by which we must be saved, that great name of Jesus, if that's you, come. Before we sing this song and before you declare, and for the rest of the people who declare that, we're going to burn for him as we sing this song. But first and foremost, come to the altar. Anybody that is uncertain about that, you can leave today knowing. You can leave today. I'm not saying everything when you leave, it's going to be perfect and wonderful, but now you have help. Now you have help.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.